The scripture today comes from the first chapter of James, 19 through 27. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they are like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers, but who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think that they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the word, the world. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Do any of you ever feel like your smartphone or your computer is listening to you? Watching every move you make? I sure do. Earlier this week, I got on YouTube during my lunch hour at work, just looking for some entertainment as I ate at my desk. And I scrolled the home page where it suggests videos that I might like based on what I've watched before. And there in the middle of blooper reels from my favorite TV shows, clips from the Ellen DeGeneres show, was this video entitled "Twin Toddlers Scared in Lazy River." I mean, clearly my devices have been taking note that I've produced a lot of lazy river content over the last few weeks. And in this video, because yes, of course I watched it, there are two adorable 2-year-old fraternal twins, Sage and Poppy, playing at an indoor water park. They are having just the best time. They are sliding down water slides and playing in the play areas, positioned in shallow water just right for little ones. The resort that they're at has this Africa theme, so in amongst the pools and the play areas are these big statues of lions and elephants and giraffes. And Sage and Poppy are just having the best time, and this happy, fun music is playing over the video. Then the music stops, and we start to get actual audio of what's going on. Each of the twins is sitting in an inner tube, while a parent floats alongside them as they're all carried around the water park by the current of the lazy river. And things are going just fine until a tunnel comes up. Now, the tunnel is lit, but in the tunnel, you know, all those sounds from the water park, they're kind of trapped in there, and it amplifies everything, and it's kind of loud and noisy in that closed-in space. And it sounds kind of spooky, and you see the kids go from very happy to very clingy. You see little Sage reaching for his daddy because he's no longer content just to be near his father. He wants to be held by him. And we hear the mother ask Poppy if she's having fun And we see her little ringlet-filled head just shake, no, before she leans over for her mommy to hold her. And as they exit the tunnel, well, let me ask you this. Why would you place a snarling hyena at the exit to a tunnel? I mean, Sage and Poppy did not appreciate that at all. And they also did not appreciate anymore the random spouts of water that would come out that you can't get away from. They didn't think those were fun anymore either. But don't worry. They had a nap and got some ice cream and everything was fine. But it took a dark turn there for a minute. You know, we've been preaching this month from the book of James, a very practical, very easy to understand, even if it's difficult to follow, guidebook for discipleship. And when we were planning this series, it was our executive ministry assistant, Ashley, who came up with our visual for the month of the Lazy River. Because the Lazy River conjures up these images of people laid back and relaxing as the current just carries them along, which is an image that, if we are honest with ourselves, can look very much like our faith journey if we are not careful. And furthermore, as little Sage and Poppy found out, there are from time to time challenges and scares along the way as the Lazy River goes along, and we have to navigate those. And so we want to be sure, as individuals and as a church, that we navigate them in ways that bring glory to God. And that was exactly what James wanted his beloved readers to do as well. James, as a book, has over 100 imperatives in it. This was originally a letter addressed to pretty much whoever would read it. Arthur has pointed out to us that this letter is not addressed, like most letters in the Bible, to one individual or to a church or to a set of churches, but it's just generally addressed. And there is little, then, that we have to suss out about the context of this letter to really understand what James is trying to say. It's very generally applicable to Christians. The author of the letter knew that his readers were being, as Episcopal priest Aaron Uti describes it, enticed by the dictates of the surrounding society. So the author is just relaying very direct instructions to help them resist society's influences. And in that instruction, we can hear the echoes of everything that Jesus taught, and we hear challenges to us as readers to evaluate whether or not our own discipleship is measuring up. So let's look a little more closely at this text. I'm going to do it in a little different order than it was written. I want to start with verse 21. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. Now, in these words, there is an invitation to discipleship and all of the benefits and rewards of it. And if you look, those words conjure up an image of a garden in which the Word of God has been implanted and which must be constantly tended so that the rank growth of wickedness and sordidness will not grow up and choke out all of God's saving power. This really is the heart of what this whole passage is saying to us. The path of discipleship is not a passive one. The Word of God which we have received is to be cared for and nurtured in our lives. It is to be protected and valued. If it is not, it will be choked out by the world. Before that verse, our passage opened with words of warning to the readers to beware of their tongues. And if you were in any of our services 2 weeks ago, you would have heard one pastor or another preach about this in detail, as we looked at a longer passage in chapter 3 that really dug into this idea. So what we see here in chapter 1 is James foreshadowing what he's going to get into more in detail later. But what he says here is very powerful, even though it is quite brief. In fact, when you look at chapter 3 and the fact that James is saying that the tongue is a very dangerous, dangerous thing and it's impossible to tame, but we have to try anyway, maybe this passage is more practical. Speak less, listen more, and slow your roll on your anger. I mean, when is it, after all, that we are most likely to let our mouths run wild, to let words escape that should not, to say things we wish we had not, when we are angry? Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Our anger does not help the implanted word grow within us. Quite the opposite. It is a wicked, sordid weed. An unbridled tongue, which James talks about later in this passage, is a clear sign to the world that the owner of the tongue is not quite as religious as they might think they are. They have deceived themselves, and they have revealed themselves when their words are loosed, perhaps especially when they are loosed in anger. And that brings us to the very heart of today's passage, where another image of deception is portrayed. An image of a believer who stands before a mirror, walks away, and behaves as if they have never seen themselves at all. In that image, James is inviting the reader to see how the mirror that a true believer should be looking at is the mirror that is provided by the perfect law, the law of liberty. Reverend Aaron Uti again, he explains it this way. James does not want his hearers to forget that looking into the law of liberty provides rules. Rules for neighborly love. The perfect law matures faith in covenantal love in our everyday interactions. He says the hearer is called to look intently into the word and to persist in loving action. Be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. Mere hearers who forget and do nothing are deceived. Hearers who persevere and act are blessed. Now, James gives this illustration of the mirror. But for me, when I think about the value of the law of liberty, the value of the gospel to my life, I think about two different passages from the Old Testament. I think first of a psalm. Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season. And their leaves do not wither. In all they do, they prosper. This psalm, the very first psalm, is reflecting on how happy and how blessed are those who delight in the law. Now, we New Testament people, we aren't naturally inclined to think of the law in this way. We tend to chafe at the idea of being told what we can and cannot do. We fancy that we are free of the law because of what Jesus did on the cross. And besides, we all saw that the law wasn't working anyway, right? But to be free of the law is not freedom. The law is liberty. The law is life-giving. Psalm 1 is pointing that out. It enables the one who is planted beside it to thrive, to grow, to bear fruit. Now, the second Old Testament text is from Jeremiah. In chapter 2, verse 13, the prophet is bringing God's case against the people of Judah, saying, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." Now hear this charge. The people have forsaken God, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns. Cisterns, man-made containers, where water can be held, but it doesn't flow. Where water stagnates and becomes contaminated. The people have forsaken God's laws, laws that he has provided for their own protection, laws that have set them apart from their neighbors. The people have forsaken God's living water and have dug their own cisterns, and they are, in fact, now broken cisterns that cannot even hold that water. Rather than sitting by a flowing stream of life, they have chosen cisterns of their own making, which have fallen apart before them, incapable of giving life to anyone. The law is more life-giving than anything we as humans can gather up and make for ourselves. The law is life, a flowing, living stream of life. The law is something we should focus on and be shaped by, not forgetting what it is when we are not looking right at it. The perfect law begs not to just be heard, but to be followed, such that we would lead lives of purity and holiness, lives averse to wickedness and sordidness. This law of liberty, though, it begs us not just to plant ourselves next to it and be nourished, but that it would become a part of us. A part of us such that we would speak as ones who believe, often meaning that we would listen more and speak less. A part of us such that we would be those who do what we hear, what we saw Jesus do. Show up, gather up, lift up, love on, care about, sacrifice for. Sometimes the faith journey that we are on looks deceptively easy. We read the word and we nod in assent. Even some of what we've heard today, if we are having a good day and we are in a good mood, if we got a good night's sleep and we took our vitamins this morning, some of this might even seem easy. Listen more, talk less, live a pure life, serve our neighbor in need. But sometimes, just around the turn is something scary and challenging. The unexpected water spouts that life aims at us and which we cannot avoid make us forget who we are called to be. A snarling hyena of a person makes us angry and tempts us to speak in ways that are not reflective of what is in our hearts. An opportunity to serve others in places seem like dark tunnels we just aren't ready to go into. The noise and the chaos of the world around us makes us want to curl up in a solitary place and take a nap and just wish Jesus would come already and make it all better. But that is not who we are. That is not what the Word of God implanted inside of us is growing. And that is not living water flowing through us. Some of us here today may feel like we are in a dark, scary, loud tunnel with beasts threatening us, not knowing when the next water cannon is going to hit us in the face. Others of us are feeling relaxed and comfortable, but we have to know that around the next turn could be the thing that makes this lazy river of faith seem not so easy anymore. We may be in an unpredictable, lazy river, but we're in it together. We may be in an unpredictable, lazy river together, but we can remind each other that no matter what is around the next corner, we are first and foremost in the flow of the living waters of God's grace. We are first and foremost in the flow of the living waters of God's grace, which should inform everything that we do and say. So together, may we go from this place, showing our love for neighbor by listening more, and showing our love for God by doing more than listening. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that you have implanted inside each one of us. And we thank you for the flow, the living flow of water that you provide to nourish it and help it to grow. Lord, the world around us can very easily choke out everything that is implanted in us if we are not careful. And we are thankful for this community of faith in which we can strengthen each other and encourage each other. Help to tend the garden. Help us to grow and bear fruit. So, Lord, this week we ask that you help us to listen closely to you and enable us to listen closely to those we meet, that we might hear what it is that you need us to do. You're counting on us. Help us to be your people. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.